Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, lots of new music, lots of glow, and lots of hugs. Stay tuned!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
It's the Rising Dead.
Not the fire. Ah!
They burned the house down in Ontario tonight for SmackDown Live. As we break it down live on AfterBuzzTV.com, the AfterBuzz TV YouTube page, iTunes, SoundCloud, liking and subscribing, telling your friends and your foes about AfterBuzz TV. What is up, everybody? I am Christian Rosenberg. Gang is all here tonight, burning it down like a big red machine does. Over on the other side, we got Ms. Gabby Loren.
Hey, guys. I am so glad to be back yet again for another Tuesday after SmackDown Live.
That's right. And hugging it out over on that side with Gabby, it is Tom Connolly.
Hello, hello. Yeah. I thought they only burned it down on Raw, not on SmackDown.
This is the burn it down originator.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
We don't steal things on SmackDown.
We can always say I don't know if they'll like this, but we water it down with like a strong hose because we're blue and they're red. So red for fire, blue for water.
I know we cool it sounds a little down, ridiculous. Like ice.
I'm delirious, okay? We cool it down
Kane,
with ice.
Kane's known for fire. So, I'm not quite sure how that adds up.
Come on, cool it down. You don't want their audience screaming.
Instead of burn it
cool
down.
Cool it down. Yeah.
They
cool it down.
They chant, cool it down to Kane.
We need to cool it the audience down from all that heat coming off of Kane.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Carlito was in the wrong time, man.
Yeah.
Cool it down would be big for Carlito right now.
It would be.
So SmackDown, Helen, not too far from us in Ontario, California, starting to build all the pieces together for Extreme Rules in a few weeks. So what do we think about tonight's show?
I thought it was pretty good. Some surprises, which were nice. Not my favorite SmackDown week to week, but I thought it had some really good elements in the show.
Yeah, it was a decent SmackDown. I mean, I feel like they've, you know, been on fire lately.
So I see what you did there.
So we did cool it down this week. We needed a little bit of a cool down. We were too hot, so we had to bring it down.
as dumb as that cliche is, I agree with that. The last like 2-3 SmackDowns have been excellent. I have nothing, not much to really complain about with the SmackDown. It was a good SmackDown, but compared to the last few weeks, it didn't captivate me as much. But that's okay. Again, some people were flying overseas. They're about to head to Japan. They were doing press tours in Australia. So not all the guys were there this week. So it's not the end of the world. We know things will pick up as we get closer to Extreme Rules. But we start off with the most must-see program in all of sports entertainment. I'm talking, of course, about Miz TV. And I'm very intrigued because his guests are the Bludgeon Brothers.
Worst decision ever.
Wow.
Yeah, worst decision because these guys don't really do much talking. They do more bludgeoning than anything.
That was the beauty of it, to try to see if they were going to talk.
Which was a failure.
Well,
I wish we would have got some actual talking out of them, though.
Yeah, it would have been nice. I agree.
They can talk in backstage segments and promos when it's taped.
That's true.
Well, Harper did talk at the end.
Okay, he had one line.
But Miz was trying to, you know, get on their good side, talking about how all three of them are great at dismantling Daniel Bryan, and shows clips that happened last week of Acts 1, 2, and 3, and he thought they were auditioning to be part of the new Miztourage, in which Harper and Rowan were just like, no, we're not. We're good just where we are.
He makes, or I should say, they both make Miz look like such a fool.
Mm-hmm. And Miz wanted to look like a fool in this situation, yeah. And he did a great job at it to make Harper and Rowan look even tougher.
Right.
That's one of the, we always praise Miz on this show, but that's one of the unsung hero things about Miz. When he's in the ring with guys like Harper and Rowan, he makes them look like savages.
Yeah.
This is true.
And even just his mannerisms, like when he was trying to get them to talk and like kind of just sticking the mic out and you know, that
just,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, just hoping without getting close to them or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Eventually, Dan O'Brien comes out, talks about how size isn't as important as heart. Which one of you is going to fight me first? That's when Harper grabbed the mic and said, you never learn, but you're going to learn tonight. which means we're going to have Dan O'Brien and Luke Harper. And somewhere Scott Narver is like, it's my birthday and Christmas at the same time.
That is definitely what's happening.
I mean, I don't think it's going to be revealed now, but I thought kind of a good reveal later would be that we find out that The Miz set up a deal with these guys to attack Dan O'Brien in that match.
It's probably because we don't know why they did it yet. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's certainly a possibility.
Like, I mean, well, I guess, I mean, the reason why was because his entrance started when they were celebrating their victory. So that's kind of the reason. But I just thought maybe it'd be a cool, like, thing later of, you know, Miz just kind of snapping on those guys and being like, no, you were supposed to take him out. Like, not let him, you know, keep wrestling.
Here's the thing. Since Miz removed himself from Raw and came to SmackDown, he doesn't have a Miztourage anymore, really. Right. So he's been trying to recruit every sort of superstar that he could, and it's not working for him. So his next resort is now the Bludgeon Brothers, who aren't too bad people to have on your side, because clearly they do a really good job in the ring. But that didn't work out for him either. So I'm curious to see where they're going to go with this storyline and if Miz will find somebody and will find some sort of more dynamic storyline behind what we're seeing right now.
We'll see. Then we get a quick clip backstage of the New Day as Xavier Woods is preparing for his match. As they call in Mr. Bootyworth.
Mm-hmm. Your favorite.
You, why were you not
Hold
there tonight?
Hold on.
This is California.
Just wait. Now, Mr. Bootyworth had a nice recipe of blending pancakes, and Xavier Woods drank that for quick energy to get ready for his match with Rusev.
I think he was trying not to throw it up.
Yeah.
Because he did not swallow that.
Oh, my goodness.
But kind of what you guys were alluding to, SmackDown, Ontario's what? Maybe around an hour and a half from here?
I was just there last week, actually.
Like an hour and a half away?
Yeah. It's an hour and a half away, more or less, hour 20 without traffic. With traffic, like 2 hours plus. Okay.
You could have been there and been back for this, though.
So,
well, possibly.
It was at the beginning of the show. It was on.
So they were nearby. They had Bootyworth on the show. And I was not invited.
I think you need to challenge him to a match. A booty off.
Oh.
That sounds real dirty. I don't know where you're going off with that.
I don't even mean it that way. I meant more like a dance contest
Tom, are you inside my mind right now? Because I am calling Mr. Bootyworth out. You and me, Bootyworth, for the right to be Bootyworth.
Here's what I think you need to do. I think you need to grab some pancakes, put them on a platter. Maybe I'll grab a blender. We'll get enough so that there's a few extra.
Okay, so that'll get full. Okay.
Yeah. And then take a photo as Mr. Bootyworth and tweet it at the New Day and see if they'll bring you on the show.
Oh, you should. Yes.
You should.
I need a tuxedo shirt.
All you need to say is, I am Mr. Bootyworth 2.0. And then I think it might work.
Or we're going to get an army tank and just ride invade? Down there like DX, invaded WCW.
We're invading. And we're going to yell outside. Mr. Bootyworth. Yep.
No, I have a better idea. Me and Tom will be like the two bludgeon siblings, and we'll go in with like all the equipment and the hammers and the bludgeons, and we'll lead you backstage so you can directly speak with these guys.
You know what? I think this is a great suggestion for like as far as our chat roll and on the YouTube and iTunes page. How should I invade to become Mr. Bootyworth?
Yeah.
Let's get some good ideas. But one thing we want to make sure that you know, besides obviously giving us good ideas for SmackDown, we want to make sure that you're checking out all the great shows. Tom, tell us about some of these other opportunities that we have here
at
AfterBuzz.
So, AfterBuzzers, you know, here at After, we do so many after shows for, you know, so many different varieties, like dramas, reality, sci-fi, and, you know, we work harder than any other network to bring you, you know, after shows for TV shows. But we need your help, so we're asking you to subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. There's tons of benefits for you. You can get your specific content right to you when you subscribe to our channels, and all your other after shows that come along with it.
So if they're in the chat roll right now, you need to hit the subscribe button if you haven't done it already.
Exactly, because once you hit subscribe, you can get Raw, NXT, Total Bellas, Total Divas.
And us every
and
week.
And us. And the SmackDown show.
Of course, us.
The A show.
A plus.
So yeah, easily hit the subscribe button, and you know, you could also do it to other shows that aren't wrestling shows too. You know, we got like Game of Thrones and Walking Dead and
all your favorites.
Yeah, some of my favorite shows. So yeah, definitely hit subscribe, and you know, we'll promise to give you the best service we can.
There you go. That's right. Now let's get into action. Xavier Woods versus Rusev, our number one contender for the WWE Championship, Rusev, I might add. Aiden English is out there singing, and all of a sudden, you're seeing pancakes nearly hit him. And Covey has become like an Olympic pancake thrower, because he is throwing them from the ring all the way to the top of the stage and nearly hitting English. I don't know how Aiden did not start laughing.
Yeah. I wish one of them would hit him in the face.
Well, he grabbed one that like landed on his foot or whatever. That was awesome.
He did move a little further up, though, when he first came out than he normally does. So I don't know if maybe they were like, hey, make sure you're up further so we can throw these at you and actually try to hit you.
I do think they really put that much effort into planning, you know, where they're going to be for those pancakes.
I think so. Yeah. Maybe. Because, I mean, if they're trying to get it, you know, I mean, they're throwing them from the ring.
Kofi throws pancakes to the friggin' rafters.
Yeah.
It's insane what he does. I don't know what's in the pancakes, but he's chucking them.
These guys are big guys, and they have big guns. I mean, guns like strong muscles in their arms. So they should be able to throw far, right?
Yeah.
Makes sense.
So
they practice the frisbee a lot.
So. Yeah.
So fun match between Rusev and Woods. Apparently, Big E had like a little like comic book thing where it says "ouch" for like the exclamation when early on when Xavier Woods hit a dropkick on Rusev up against the ropes. I don't know where he got it. I don't know where that came from, but right. I loved it.
Well, hey, there's definitely a GIF online on social media. So if you guys want to check that out, I think it was WWE that posted that. So it's funny.
Absolutely.
But any moment like that, you're going to get a good gif out of it.
Yeah. And eventually, Rusev eventually gains control, locks in the accolade on Xavier Woods, gets the win. We kind of touched on this last week, how Kofi had the big match being a Money in the Bank, then Big E had the big match against Daniel Bryan last week, and then we were saying, oh, next week be Xavier's turn. This week it was with Rusev. However, they're all losing their matches.
Yeah, they are. That's true.
So what? Is this going to start being a trend for someone where they're all getting these big matches, but they're not pulling through victories?
I think that they're so good as characters, but not necessarily highlighted in the ring, but they are highlighting the people they go up against. So it is Rusev's time to shine, and he's now on a winning streak. So I think it is necessary that he goes up against somebody like Xavier Woods. And now it's led him to this point where he's a number one contender for that belt.
Yeah.
Which, whoever thought we'd be here today.
Yeah.
It's been a long time coming.
That's right.
Who else can he beat on the way to Extreme Rules?
Everyone.
Maybe Rusev and Nakamura, maybe?
Everyone.
Match?
He beats everyone and everything. Beat up Bootyworth! Take him out! I need Mr. Bootyworth on a stretcher. Stat. That sounds awful. I'm sorry. I'm sure he has a lovely family and everything. Naomi and Lana are backstage, still arguing over...
Wait a second.
What?
Light bulb moment. To answer your question, Tom.
Yeah.
Just completely cut me off.
I mean, this is going really out there as a prediction, but if there is ever a chance that Rusev could get that title at Extreme Rules, right? If there is a chance, I feel like he will turn against Aiden English right before. And so he could possibly go against Aiden English in the ring.
Yeah.
So that this establishes him as an individual, no longer with a sidekick. Although I'm sure everyone would be upset that the Rusev Day group may not be working
together. Well, we talked about that last week with Aiden planting the seeds to turn on Rusev.
Yeah, and so I think
to make Rusev a full-fledged face.
Now would be that point if he was to get this title.
Naomi and Lana, they are still bickering about their dance-off from like a month ago. I want it. No, I want it. No, I want it. Oh, here's the cast of GLOW.
This was so random, by the way.
Like, what?
So I love GLOW. I'm obsessed with that show. Yeah.
It's the best. GLOW and BoJack are the best Netflix shows.
No, there's a few more. Yeah.
There's a lot of great Netflix shows. No, I'm not saying...
Those are not the only two.
No, I'm not saying... there are a lot of fantastic Netflix shows. Those are the two best, according to this guy.
Well, with that being said, I'm glad they showed up and because it was in California. Mm-hmm. However, why was this only limited to a minor backstage segment? Why didn't they do anything in the ring?
Because they shouldn't have even had a minor backstage segment. This was terrible.
Yeah, well, it could have been better if they actually did something. No, it would have made it
far worse.
You think so?
Absolutely. If you're putting actors who are acting as wrestlers in the actual ring...
They do it in the TV show.
I know. So then if they start doing it in WWE, it's going to make the actual wrestlers look weak.
Not if they play victim.
No agent is going to allow actors to do that.
The
Rock's agent's been doing everything in his power to keep The Rock out of the ring.
Here's the thing, though.
Let alone the Glow Girls.
That's because he got hurt.
Did you see the TBS show Drop the Mic? When they had their episode.
I didn't watch the full episode, but I heard they pretty much crushed them because the wrestlers don't know how to rap.
Right. And so now they're in the ring, which is like WWE's land. It's their chance, WWE, to shine as superstars over the girls that are actresses. So I think it would have been perfect. I actually got to go to Drop the Mic and watch the taping. I went with some of the girls here, which was really fun, and some of the WOW people.
Why didn't we get invited?
I know. I'm sorry. I'm joking. Girls thing. Sorry. You know, Glow, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. But no, it was so much fun, and we actually got to see the taping. But I think it would have been cool to, in that element, we got to see them, like, wrap it out. Why didn't they do a segment like that, even if it wasn't limited to, like, wrestling? Because
it's not a show about wrapping it out.
But well, let's see, have a dance-off, then.
Yeah, it could have been anything that they could have done in the ring.
They could have brought Naomi and Lana together by dancing together against the Glow Girls.
Yeah.
And
they
winning.
They brought them together from this bizarre interaction backstage.
But listen, I loved Allison Brie doing the Russian thing against Lana. I thought that was
cool. She sounded more Russian than Lana.
She does, yeah. She's a good actress.
So that made Lana look weaker.
So then it already happened.
So it already hurt Lana.
So your point is irrelevant because clearly made her look weak.
No, my point is bad because it made everyone just look bad and out of touch and it made no sense.
Okay.
Listen, Allison Brie should have just hit Lana in the head with a piece of wood.
There.
And then we could have got rid of the accent.
Fine.
She would have forgot she even had an accent.
And then she could have woke up and been like, Naomi, you're my best friend. Yeah, I am your best friend, Lana.
I don't know. As much as I love
Glow Lana Day.
Yes. As much as I love Glow and Naomi and Lana, this was just ridiculous.
It was weird.
And we just spent way too much time talking about it.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Jeff Hardy. Apparently Nakamura suffered an injury at a house show yesterday. Tom,
that's part of my news, though.
Okay, well, they said it on SmackDown.
Okay, but
They didn't say what it was. They just said he was injured.
I know why, guys. Stay tuned to the end.
Yeah, let's talk about it later.
There you go.
Don't tune out.
Let's just say that Nakamura got hurt. Keep going.
So we don't have Jeff Hardy versus Nakamura tonight as advertised. However, then Jeff Hardy is issuing an open challenge for the United States Championship. And the person to answer this is Sanity's Eric Young. So his first official match on the main roster is for the United States Championship. Okay. And I love Eric Young. That's a guy I'm really happy is finally in this position because he's been around for so long and so many years and so many organizations scratching and clawing, trying to do something. And I love what they're doing with Sanity's entrance, where they keep flipping to different camera angles, trying to add chaos to Sanity. It is a good effect on it.
It reminds me of the NXT tapings because they're way more dramatic when they shoot that. So it brings in what I like about NXT. Yeah.
I think something would be cool with their entrance is that, I mean, I get the Shield used to come through the crowd, but they also came through the crowd together. Like, I think if they came through like two guys on one side, one on the other.
Well, they came down the ramp.
Yeah, no, but I mean, I'm saying for Sanity, if they changed it up a little bit and they still came through the crowd, but you didn't know where they were coming from, it would obviously, you know, add to the chaos.
Yeah, that's true.
Not knowing what's going on.
So the two of them are having a good match. Both men are down. No one's really interfered. Wolf and Dane, they've been yelling at stuff, but they haven't really done much in interference in the match. All of a sudden, the Hardys come through, Jeff Hardy. The Usos come through the crowd, and all of a sudden, they start brawling, and then they start brawling with Eric Young, which then causes a DQ. So technically, Eric Young won that match by disqualification. They'll never announce that. And then they continue all beating each other up. We cut the commercial, we come back, and now it's a six-man tag between them. And I do want, before we get into an issue here, I want to give referee Jason Ayers some love because he does not get enough of it. This guy reffed the entire 45-minute gauntlet last week. Tonight he refs the 15-minute Eric Young Jeff Hardy match and immediately stays in the ring and then refs another 15-minute six-man tag match. This guy does not get enough credit. People who have not reffed, you don't understand how difficult that is to do that for that long a stretch without a break.
Do you know how much your hand hurts from hitting the mat?
It's not that.
No, I want to know what makes that difficult.
Well,
since I've never clearly reffed.
Well, with all like the instructions and obviously like, you know, knowing the certain spots or finishes for multiple matches consecutively, you're also obviously constantly running the round, sliding. It hurts your knees a lot reffing. And obviously, in this case, on such a grand stage, he's constantly getting, you know, instructions in his earpiece as well that he then has to convey to the wrestlers. But to do that really nonstop for 30 minutes is impressive, especially when it's multiple matches.
Yeah.
So that's why, like, the gauntlet blew me away that it was just him the entire time. So, shout out to you, Jason Ayers. Good job. Now we got to talk about someone that we're really annoyed with this, though. I know Tom and I are, at least. We'll see if Gabby is. So Usos and Jeff Hardy get the win with a combination of super kick and then Swanton and Alexander Wolfe. So Sanity's official debut match, after months of hyping, they lose clean.
What?
Tom, I'm going to let you start with this rage because I think we both need to rage a little bit on
this. Yeah, I think we need to get my music going for my raging.
Tom's raging.
Because, you know, we've been on fire, and this just made me ice cold.
Oh! Cool it down! Cool it down!
That's what I'm saying, all right? Yeah, all right, cool. This is ridiculous. Okay, the whole thing, from top to bottom, I did not like. You get the Usos to come out, and they just walk out there like they're just like, hey, there's a match going on, let's just walk to the ringside. These guys beat the crap out of you last week, laid you out. You didn't even have a match. You didn't even get to fight them. Why would you not just... Why wouldn't they come from the other side of the barrier and jump over and just start beating those guys up?
Why are they interfering during a match?
Well, whatever. I mean, I'm just saying. If you're gonna go into it this way, this is how you should do it. Mm-hmm. At least give them a reason of why... Hey, they're jumping them because they basically got jumped last week. Then you have Sanity, who we've been building up for months. And then you have them lose. They're a bunch of losers. They're in Nakamura's camp now of being losers.
And Asuka at this point.
Yeah. Everyone, like, all right, anyone that's come from NXT has been losers. I don't understand it. And it's really annoying me anymore where you have these guys come up and you build it to nothing. Because what are we going to get out of this at all? Like, why wouldn't you let them win the match?
Yeah.
They got jumped. Why wouldn't they come out on top? It's not like anybody, like Jeff Hardy didn't lose the belt.
They could cheat because they're heels.
Exactly. It's stupid. It's just stupid and it's dumb writing. It really is. Like, it doesn't make any sense at all.
I'm kind of raging for a different reason. Okay. I wish that they didn't have multiple matches with the same story. So we've had multiple interferences and disqualifications tonight. Like, why do it again? You know what I mean? I think it shouldn't have been... where the Usos interjected, and now there's a six-man tag team match that doesn't even count. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
They should have let Sanity have that match, you know, and with Hardy, and that should have been it. Yeah.
The match should have ended. I mean, there should have been some type of... if you're having... I mean, it's kind of a mistake. I get they're kind of throwing in last minute because Eric Young jumped in if Nakamura was hurt.
But still, how many guys do you have sitting in the back? We talked about it earlier.
Right.
Ty Dillinger doing nothing.
One little promo.
And he didn't even get anything back on Ellsworth. But, you know, like you could have had him go against Jeff Hardy, had a good, fun match. Jeff win in the end because he's a fighting champion. I mean, in the end, you're making Jeff Hardy look like a loser too because... he's won that belt and hasn't even won any matches since he's won. Like, he's barely defended the belt.
He defended it against Jinder in their rematch, and that's really been it.
Exactly. And that was when?
Months ago.
Yeah, like two months ago.
So, yeah, this was, like, the worst thing you could have done to Sanity was done tonight. They'll probably have a match with the Usos on, like, the kickoff of Extreme Rules. They'll probably win that.
Boring.
Maybe they'll win that now. Who knows? Mm. But you just made... You made Young still looked okay because he wrestled for so long, but you made Dane and Wolf look horrible tonight.
Yeah.
Horrible. And they're much better than that. We all just raged on this.
But they're like the Riot Squad. Like they shouldn't be doing things like, you know, how it normally should happen. Like they should just be disrupting stuff and just making chaos. We're basically back with the Riot Squad again, doing no rioting. There's no chaos with Sanity.
But yeah. I like all of Sanity.
I like them, but you can't say we're a group of chaos and then we don't do anything.
Yeah, you can't name a group, a team, with such names and then not actually dig into the character.
Yeah.
It's basic.
Like, they should just be doing anything they want each week.
Yeah.
Just showing up and beating, like, that's. They shouldn't even have matches. They should just show up and beat the crap out of people.
Doesn't that
that's
remind
all they need
you
to do.
Of, like, back in the day with WWE when they actually did more dramatic things?
Yes!
Like, we're missing out on that in 2018. I haven't seen anything really outrageous.
Yeah.
Like, what we used to see.
Like, I want it to be those guys beating the crap out of random people, and then almost like a Shield thing, where, like, and then those random people can come together and have a match against these guys, but these guys still kick the crap out of them and win because they're chaos and Sanity and they're, you know, insane and blah, blah, blah.
Well, actually, it's like, crazy. To go to some people's points in the chat roll, I know someone brought up Ciampa. There's some really good, like, NXT matches, and the one that recently happened at TakeOver with Johnny Gargano and Ciampa.
Right.
Like, that is an example of, like, people really getting to explore their character and have depth to what they're doing. Don't
you
think?
That has nothing. That honestly really has nothing to do with what we're talking about right now, because NXT does something very different than Raw and SmackDown does. Because SmackDown, with them being on the big network TVs, they very condense it, so you don't have any type of stories that you get in NXT.
But I also feel like that's ridiculous. Though. Yeah. Like if that's your main brand, if that's your main
it doesn't make
show,
sense.
Like why wouldn't you want your main show to be the best it can be and be that in depth? Like, you're competing with television shows that are insane, like, you know, like we said earlier, Game of Thrones, Westworld. You want the attention. You want people love those type of crazy stories or like in-depth stories, which we're getting in NXT, but we're not getting on the main roster.
Even if it's not a story, it should be like you see their character through what they're doing in the ring and their moves and how dramatic it can get and how intensified.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing that all the time. Mm-hmm. Like the Shinsuke-AJ match we recently saw for the title, that was incredible.
Yeah.
We should be getting that, and we're not getting that with Sanity, groups like Sanity.
Well, we're not
going to
get it
in
Sanity's debut.
No, but I think we need some development here.
Some development.
Right, well, no, you're not. You shouldn't have them just lose in their debut match.
Exactly.
That's just stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, we agreed on that like 10 minutes ago.
Okay, this was a full-on rage, though.
Yes. It was.
So we had to go on.
Listen, it's been a while.
Yeah, Tom had a lot of rage built
up
there.
We cooled this show down.
Whew, cooled it down. But now let's have a fun match. Becky Lynch and Sonya Deville was a fun match.
It was.
That was a fun match. Actually, I thought Sonya did a great job with Becky. They went back and forth. A lot of Sonya did a lot of countering in this match. So kind of proving like the MMA background in testing Becky. I thought it was a very fun match. They gave it a good amount of time. Mandy Rose at the end tried to interfere. Becky then threw Sonya into Mandy and then locked on to disarm her, make Sonya tap. Becky gets the win. She's been on a little bit of a hot streak, trying to get herself ready. I'm guessing like we talked about last week. To be the next person to go after Carmella once this feud with Asuka ends.
So here's another example of people with losing streaks. Sonya Deville is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
She's on a losing streak as well. I think she's amazing, though, as a wrestler. I know there's a lot of people that are, like, on the fence with her. But she's up and coming. So hopefully at some point she's in that group that gets a chance eventually.
But they're still, even though she's losing, they're still getting the mic time. They're still getting, they still have the interactions with Paige. So there are times where even if you lose, it's still a win because you're having that type of time. It's one thing if you just lose and then you're gone for a few weeks and you come back and you lose and you're gone for a few weeks and then you lose. Mm. But that's not happening with them at all.
It's just hard because I feel like everyone has, you know, their favorites, the people they really like. And it's just hard, obviously, that everyone can't win every week.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So and you don't want it to be like a DQ finish all the time or, you know, it just gets really sloppy. But it was a good match, and I mean, both of them were improving,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, we'll see what happens with them. They'll eventually feud with each other.
Yeah. We touched on this just a minute ago. Ellsworth backstage playing with the Oscar match. Mask. He runs into Ty Dillinger. Ty puts the mask back on him. Okay, now you can be a 10. And then he takes him out. Well, what about now? You're a 1. And Ty walks away. Thanks for coming, Ty.
Hey. He got a nice trip to California.
There you go.
Not only that, but Ellsworth is getting some good screen time. Yeah. Last few weeks. More than a lot of our new roster.
Yeah. We then have a cell phone promo from Andrade Cien Almas and Zelina Vega. You know,
who?
You know, the people that were hyping up that match with Sin Cara that they've been hyping up that was going to happen every Tuesday for the last month and hasn't happened. Zelina says, 3 weeks ago we sent a message and put Sin Cara on the shelf. Is that why Andrade has not had action? Is it because everyone's afraid of him? Well, like, we're going to get everybody. Da-da-da-da-da. That was that.
Yeah, it's kind of... Hey, Ty, you could probably have a match with this guy, and it'd be really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just letting you guys know, you guys at work there.
They worked each other in NXT.
Yeah.
So. Then we get James Ellsworth out. New music for Ellsworth. Don't like this music nearly as much as the other music.
I can't remember what the other one was.
I think the other one was more one like people cheered to that one. So I think that's why they changed it.
Mm-hmm. So is Ellsworth like back on the roster or is he just back for a little bit and then he's gone?
Well, the last time when he left, his last appearance really was when he had a match against Becky Lynch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as we get into this segment, we see James Ellsworth going back to how he ended his last tenure, talking about how much better men are than women. There are two types of men. Men who like to wear sandals, graduate high school, and like to talk about their feelings.
I love the graduate high school line. Whoever wrote that, you got an applause for me.
And then there's real men like me, aka Ellsworth, who stand up for what we believe in. And then he starts talking to Asuka. He said, "Listen up, babe. I love and respect women. And I have a love life so hot you can fry an egg on it. I assure you, the feeling is mutual." Wink. I shivered. There's a cool it down moment right there.
Yeah.
If none other. Calls out Asuka. Paige comes out because she's like, we all know Asuka's not here. She's in Japan with her family. So we knew that's why you'd be trying to call her out this week. And Paige announces then Carmella's going to defend the women's title against Asuka at Extreme Rules. And Ellsworth's like, oh, no, you also came out here to ask me out.
Of course.
Paige's like, you're right. How's next Tuesday sound? You would think Ellsworth would think, oh, wait, don't you have plans on Tuesday nights?
AKA what do you mean? SmackDown?
We've seen so many people go out on dates on Monday Night Raw. So it wouldn't be, I wouldn't put Basson.
Not a general manager. Not a great general manager like Paige, who is always there doing her job.
Yeah, and like Ellsworth is totally not Paige's type. That's for sure.
You never know.
Okay.
Well, Paige.
He's got tattoos like her.
Exactly the same. Paige then announced next week on SmackDown it will be Ellsworth versus Asuka. Could this be the last night we see Ellsworth?
I'm going to say it right now. Ellsworth wins.
If that happens, Asuka's done.
Oh, my God. Don't say that.
That's terrible.
Oh, no. You can't have Asuka lose to Ellsworth. No.
I say Carmella dresses up as Asuka this time, and that's how he wins.
Oh, that would be interesting if she interrupted the match and saved him. I like that theory.
I don't know. We'll see.
We will see.
Isn't it odd that Carmella wasn't out tonight?
And no, she was out of the country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of them were out of the country.
Yeah.
But doing promoting stuff.
So all the major people were gone.
They were in Australia. Her and
our
AJ
favorites.
Promoting that super show. Super showdown.
Yes. But you talk about favorites. We want to know what your favorite moments are of SmackDown After Buzz. And you could tell us that by going to iTunes and leaving those comments, giving us 5 stars, telling your friends, and make sure upon anything else you subscribe, as well as on the YouTube page. We want to hear what you guys like and what you don't like so we can make the show even better for you. So make sure you head over to iTunes for SmackDown and give us them 5 stars. Main event, Luke Harper versus Daniel Bryan. God damn! Luke Harper. About damn time they gave him the spotlight. Love this. Love this match. Harper was countering everything Daniel Bryan had to offer. Harper was just as quick as Bryan, throwing him around, and Daniel Bryan was taking everything. Oh, this match was fantastic. Eventually, Daniel Bryan puts the yes lock on Harper. Rowan runs in and interferes, causes a DQ. They start beating up Daniel Bryan. But then the pyro erupts on the monitor because they can't afford pyro. And out comes the big red machine Kane to make the save.
You're welcome.
Tom definitely said this would exactly happen last week.
We are just on fire with the predictions.
It's true.
I cooled it down.
No, you fired it up.
That's my shirt coming. Cool it down, okay?
So Kane and Dan O'Brien get rid of the Bludgeon Brothers, and then they have this moment where Dan O'Brien's awkwardly staring at Kane because he's just like, didn't you, like, at early, or late last year or early 2018, chokeslam me and put me on a stretcher when I was visiting Raw?
When was it? Was before Survivor Series.
It was around that time.
It was around Survivor Series.
When Kane was feuding with Braun.
Yeah.
Didn't you just, like, put me in a hospital and now you're saving me? I'm confused. But then she's like, and nobody remembers that. Let's hug.
Hug it out.
Hug it out. Hug it out.
And then they hugged. Crowd went nuts. And Paige ran out real quick to announce that Extreme Rules, Bludgeon Brothers will defend the tag titles against Team Hell No.
And Paige gets another point.
There you go. And that's how SmackDown goes off the air. We got the tag title match that you correctly predicted, Tom.
You guys could hire me if you wanted to.
So, real fun main event, I thought, for SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the last time Kane got that many cheers when he came out.
If it was any other scenario, it would not have happened.
No.
So I was happy to see Kane. So yeah, that's,
I thought it was great. If you're bringing Kane back, because at his age, we know he can only do so much, but this is the type of thing you bring him back with something that the crowd loved and enjoyed, and he's in the tag team where Daniel Bryan is going to do most of the work anyway. So it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it.
Or they could do it the other way, too, of Kane getting the beatdown and Bryan getting the hot tag.
Yeah.
To get that, that crowd going too. Crazy.
All right, I'm all for this. And I'm also all for our wrestling wrap. Gabby, we got like 5 minutes. Uh-oh. Let's knock this out.
A minute per story. Okay.
You got five stories? Jeez.
I mean, you know, I do my work. So, the wrestling wrap for this week. As of Friday, October 4th, 2019, Fox will begin airing SmackDown Live on Fox Sports as part of a new 5-year agreement. So we've officially found its home. It is Fox Sports, you guys.
Yeah, not Fox. That's exciting. Network, so
yeah,
I still think it's still going to be higher ratings than what USA gets easily. Fox does a tremendous job promoting their sports events. And when they had UFC, they have most of their stuff on Fox Sports, but they have occasional specials on the Fox network. I expect the same with WWE.
Well, I think this is like a huge and legendary moment right now for WWE because they're being considered more of a real sport. They're actually being accepted by a sports network. So that's pretty incredible.
And also on the entertainment side, because this was the first year they held one of those big 4-year consideration events for the Emmys last week.
Yeah. I mean, they're
probably not going to get nominated for anything, but they actually held it to be treated like it.
I think they should. Yeah. I mean, if anybody watches those specials, even if you are not a wrestling fan, they are incredible.
Yes.
That Hardy special.
The Hardy one was amazing.
Was probably the best one they've ever done. I mean, the women's one was really good, but I think the Hardy's one was, you know, out of the park. Mm-hmm. So.
All right. Well, next up, Charlotte Flair, daughter of 16-time Pro Wrestling World Champion Ric Flair, will be featured in the ESPN 2018 Body Issue, which will be out on stands June 29th, so that's in a few days, guys. Mm-hmm. She is one of 16 athletes featured in the mag this year. Flair shared a few photos on Monday over social media yesterday. The athlete is in disbelief that she was chosen to don the pages. She was quoted saying, "I've always enjoyed this issue the most because I admired and looked up to the athletes who were sending the message that strong is sexy." The photos are super edgy, but show Charlotte in the ring with a glowing confidence performing her signature moves that we've all seen. So I got to glimpse a few. I checked them out online. Yeah. You guys can Google it.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, like
we touched
sick body.
Yeah, yeah. We touched on this a little last week, and now the photos are out and everything. And on ESPN.com, they also have like a video clip. She does for like filming when they took photos of her, she does a moonsault.
She does?
While covering herself.
That's insane.
Which is ridiculous. But they're very, like, the great thing with the body issue is they're, it's very artistic. It's very tasteful. I mean, all the people in it, all the athletes, are just, like, very unique bodies and have unique stories with them every year. So you don't try to go there and be like, oh, I can't. Oh, my God, they're naked. This is grim. It's not like that. It's very it's very tasteful. It's very well done. ESPN does a fantastic job with this, and it's awesome that Charlotte was on it. And the article is great. The photos are fantastic. I think Karl-Anthony Towns of the Minnesota Timberwolves ended up getting the cover. But
we also have like a Dodgers player in there as well.
They're all different athletes.
No, actually, I don't think he got the cover. I think there's actually a lesbian couple.
Did they get the cover?
I think so.
Karl-Anthony Towns did.
They're professional soccer athletes, and they're a lesbian couple, so they're being featured, which that's
great
breaking
too.
Boundaries, you know, just alone, you know, in the LGBTQT community. So really cool.
I wouldn't mess with Charlotte. She looks so strong in the picture, in those pictures.
Next up, somebody we love dearly, Shinsuke Nakamura, was pulled from SmackDown Live tonight and from his match with Jeff Hardy due to a dog bite. So this is what we were teasing earlier. Yeah. So Shinsuke was bit in the leg by a police dog backstage in Bakersfield on Monday, and his involvement in the upcoming Japanese house shows is uncertain, according to the Wrestling Observer.
Which is going
to
be ridiculously unfortunate if that happens.
He'll make it there.
Can you believe, though, a police dog bit his leg? That's crazy.
Listen, I want to know.
I got one thing to say about this. Chew it down. Chew it down.
My one thought was he was mocking the police dog like he mocked AJ, and the dog was just like not having any of it.
Yeah, he just wasn't
speaking English.
The dog is a Raw fan.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah. I really want to know what happened.
I don't. Like, how did he get attacked by a police dog?
Yeah.
Did he have drugs? Because that's a whole other story.
What was he doing?
Craziness. So, I had so much news last week, and it's hard to fit everything in when we only have a few minutes here, but I do want to shed light on this. In April of 2017, it was announced that WOW Women of Wrestling partnered up with MGM Television Partners to create content across unscripted and digital formats. Now, a little more than a year later, Access TV has picked up the show, and Hollywood Reporter broke the news. They're going to be taping the new season this fall in Los Angeles. And I know usually our tapings are at Belasco Theater, so I think they're going to do that again around October time. So you guys should definitely keep up to date.
Who might they be seeing if they watch the show?
Oh! Well, lucky enough for me, I actually am their backstage reporter. So this is very exciting news. I'm super elated, and I think these women definitely deserve this opportunity. And I'm excited for what's to come. So if you guys check out WOWE.com, they will be posting tickets and information on live events as soon as that information is released. But I'm pretty sure they're aiming for a fall shoot time for that new season. And then it will air in early 2019 on Access for broadcast. And then, you know, I have to end it off with Kevin Owens. So Kevin Owens, last
concert?
Story of the day. Yeah, there's aside from his car being flipped over on Monday by Braun Strowman.
Well, did he make it to the concert then?
Yeah, that's the question. Did he make it to Shania Twain?
That's what I was gonna say. So I mean, I don't know how he did it, but it's Kevin Owens and he pulls through. He got to the Shania Twain concert.
Thank God.
In Montreal. And it looks like he might have had a front row seat, because if you check out ringsidenews.com, there's a video that was shared on social media where you see the back of Kevin's head right next to the stage. So he must have had those like real close-up VIP seats or backstage seats. Whatever.
I think it was Shania who got him a rental to get up there, because she's like, I know Braun's giving you trouble, but I want to see you.
Mm-hmm. She knew how much he was looking forward to this, so she hooked it up for him.
I hope someone there took some video of him singing.
Yeah, well, that's what we're all waiting for. So make sure you guys share with us if you find any footage of Kevin Owens at Shania Twain rocking out. Because, first of all, I think it would be totally hysterical. So please share it with us. We'd love to see it.
Well, and we want you to share all your opinions, what you like and dislike, on the iTunes page, on YouTube, and, of course, on social media with us. Tweet us, Instagram us, MySpace us, all that fun stuff. Tom Connolly, how can people reach out to you?
You can find me on Instagram at TomTheCom.
And Connolly Central.
Yeah, I always forget that. Sorry.
And your Etsy show.
That's
Connolly Central.
Yeah. Okay, great.
I'm doing a Twitter-free summer, so, you know.
That's not going to go well at all.
It won't be fun.
Gabby Loren.
You guys can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Gabby Loren TV. Tuesday nights here on SmackDown Live, and I'm on Celebrity Page TV for Reels Channel for the next few weeks. So make sure to check out my episodes week to week. You can look at their website for those airings or local affiliates, and HollywoodHotList.com for special promo deals for discounts on some really hot products.
All right, and you can follow me on Twitter at Will Rosenberg, Instagram The Will Rosenberg, personalities.com/Christian Rosenberg, collarandelbowbrand.com, like this cool Ichiban shirts right here. Use the promo code Rosenberg, save yourself 10%. And for other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow them on Twitter at AfterBuzz TV. Thanks so much for tuning in. For Tom Connolly and Gabby Loren, I'm Christian Rosenberg. We'll see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.